Torah, today we're doing Sheni, and it seems like leaders like to kvetch. I mean, if you can say that, but I mean, just saying it in a way that Moshe Rabbeinu was basically in this parsha saying how he had a hard time. He says, and he basically describes the Jewish people. He says, "Eicha esol levadi torchachem umasachem v'rivchem." He says, "How can I carry alone?" Torchachem means your troubles, umasachem and your load, and v'rivchem and your arguments. So interesting to see how Rashi translates each one of these things in details. What he was saying over here. So he says like this. Torchachem, it means that the Jews were, I think the right word over here, were burdensome. Melamecho Yisrael tarchon. What does it mean? So he says that if one person would have a judgment, would have a case, they would have a, they came to the Beis Din, they came to the court for a ruling. And one person would see that it's going in the favor of the other person, of the other litigant. It's going in the favor. So he would say, "Oh, you know, I have more evidence to bring." Meaning, you know, they were burdening. They didn't accept the judgment. They didn't accept. I think I mentioned several times what I heard from the Rebbe himself. I heard by the Rebbe said that when he was a cheder, I'm not sure exactly what period, because we know that the Rebbe didn't spend too much time in cheder. Mostly he was educated on his own. He was learning not in a setting, not in a formal setting. But I believe that the Rebbe said, that's what I remember, but the Rebbe definitely said when he was young. So they had this kind of a story walking around. It's also interesting to hear what kind of jokes or what kind of anecdotes they would discuss in that in those times, to compare them to what we would talk about today. So what was the thing? So they said like this, they had a question that they asked, because in the olden days, people would have a question about, they would shecht, let's say, an animal or a chicken, whatever they would come to. Sometimes they'd have a question, they wasn't sure if the chicken is kosher or not. There can be various different things. You know, there's a bruise, there's a mark, it seems they're not sure when it happened, before, while it was alive, afterwards, whether it renders a treif or not. So you come to the rabbi and you ask the rabbi a question, and the rabbi rules. You know, the rabbi tries to see exactly, is it kosher or not? And the rabbi makes a ruling. Sometimes, unfortunately, the rabbi will say, you know, this thing is not kosher. And the person could end up having a loss. And today, we come everything packaged, you know, whatever it is, it's fine. But olden days, people would spend a lot of money, get a chicken, and then, you know, to make a treif, it would make a loss. They'd lose some money. Especially if we're talking about an animal, so they'd finally get enough money to check an animal, the discrepancy in price, selling something for kosher to the kosher market and the non-kosher market was a big loss, was a major loss. But yet, people who were religious people, and the Rav says that it's not kosher, so they listen to the Rav. You know, that's it. They pay. It's the cost of, it's to sacrifice, cost them a lot of money, but because they wanted to follow the Torah, they took the loss and they kept on. They bought another one, so that was a loss that they accepted. So he said, but that's the case when they come to ask about a kosher animal. But then, sometimes they have a case in which people have a disagreement about, you know, whether he owes him the money or not. It was like a matter of a judicial case, of a monetary case, and the question to litigants. Well, this one is arguing this way, the other way. The rabbi is listening to all the sides, listens to all the arguments, told the litigants. And finally, eventually, the rabbi makes out a ruling. He says, "You're right, and the other one is wrong." He tells the person that is wrong, "You have to pay 250 rubles to the other guy because you owe him the 250 rubles. That's the ruling of the Torah. Now, in this case, the litigant does not accept the rabbi's ruling, and he becomes a personal enemy of the rabbi. The rabbi ruled against him, you know. So he said, so he's just won't forgive the rabbi. Another. So he said, they asked the cheder. He said, "How come that same person, when it comes to the kosher, the animal, he loses the 250 ruble, he's willing to accept the loss because the Torah said so. So he follows the Torah. And here the rabbi tells him that he lost the 250 dollars and he's not willing to accept. What's the difference? So he says, it's not about his loss, it's about the other one's win. He's ready to lose the $250, but he can't accept that the other one should be right in getting the $250. So it's not so much that a person is ready for that. I mean, the Rebbe says something else. The other one's gain bothers him more than his own loss, so he can give up on his loss on his gain. But in any event, in this case, yeah, it's supposed to be a joke. You think it's true? The Rebbe, the pasuk says over here is, no, it's just, the reason I remember it like that is because you see, people, even though they're religious people, and they do everything, and they try to live a religious life, but if the Rav rules something, they say, no, I got other evidence. They don't just accept it, they don't accept the ruling of Moshe Rabbeinu in this case. That's what's called Torchachem. Then further, it says, Umasachem. Masachem means the load, but Rashi says, I don't know, Rashi uses the word here, melamed shehoyu apikursim. Apikursim, as he says in Sifsa Chachamim, means rebellious. The Jews were rebellious. It's interesting, they'd always sort of find fault with Moshe Rabbeinu. And you know, here we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, we're not talking about just anybody. So Rashi is like this: if Moshe Rabbeinu would get up early, come out to the judgment, sit early, so what would they say? They said, "Why is he going? Why is he getting up so early? Why is he leaving his home so early? Must be that in his house there is no peace at home. He has to leave the house early." And what happens if he came late? So they twisted around the other way. They said, "Oh, how come he's not? How come he's late today?" You know, probably he's sleeping late. But Rashi says, he's probably sitting there and he's plotting bad things. So he couldn't win. You know, it's heads you win and tails he loses. So he's always, early was no good, late is good. They're always complaining. That's the meaning Rashi says of Masachem. And then Rashi says, Rivchem melamed shehoyu regnim. You know, Rivchim means argumentative, so Rashi says Regnim. What does it mean actually, Regnim? No offense, what does Regnim mean? Regnim means they were just disagreement. You know, what is it tied to Regnim? What is it tied to the word Regnim? What does Regnim mean? But it's another thing, but maybe Regnim means just like causing Riv, causing Machloikis, causing dissent. So, this goes back, you know, we talk about Jewish characteristics, you know, defined usually as Baishonim, Goyim L'chasodim, Rachmonim, but another characteristic that they're argumentative and they don't accept, maybe this is not only with regards to the Jewish people, maybe you can say something, but here... Machlokes, yeah, so people, argumentative people. So I guess the previous one is probably more like stubborn. The first one is kind of stubbornness, and the other one is rebellious, and this is just argumentative. These are just various different ways. But yet, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is also starts with the word Eicha. If you see in some parashas, start with the word Eicha, because this is also represents the idea of Eicha Yashu Vadod, and another level of Eicha. And maybe we can also, it's the same spelling as the words of Ayeko, as by Hashem says to Adam in the, he says to him, Ayeko, where are you? Asking a person. And the Medrash, I believe, connects all these Eichas together, the different levels of Eicha, but I guess one time there was a mashpia, Reb Nissen, came to the Rebbe, and he was sort of complaining to the Rebbe about the more modern day, the students, that they weren't as serious as they used to be. He was a mashpia for many years back in Russia, and the students over there were a lot more serious than they were over here. And he was complaining to the Rebbe, like, you know, how could you, you know, be a mashpia? Eicha, Eicha Esa Levadi, how could I...
How can I teach these boys? They're not interested in it. So the Rebbe said to him, look, you have to understand that there's a general mindset between the way young people grew up in Russia and the way people grow up in the United States. In Russia, the mindset was that there is authority and you have to be afraid of authority. People were afraid, the police, the KGB, everybody, you know, people were afraid. That was part of the psyche. They saw their parents, they saw the grandparents, they saw everybody is afraid from the government. So therefore, naturally, authority was something that the children knew that, you know, you gotta respect, you gotta be afraid of, you gotta take them seriously. So the same thing, it also went as far as the Mashpia, the Rosh Yeshiva, or whatever the head of the authority. The Rebbe said in the United States, it's just the reverse. Over here, he says, we tear down authority. Over here, we don't accept anybody saying anything. And therefore, the Rebbe says, if you're dealing with the modern kids, they're growing up in a country where nobody's afraid of authority or anything else. And therefore, the Rebbe says, that also filters down into the yeshivas too, you know, so authority doesn't have any more. But yet the Rebbe said, even though that these are actually certain facts, but you don't have to be mahader, you don't have to, you know, in other words, okay, that says that it is a fact like that, but still we should try to sort of do as best as we can. So I guess once the Rebbe told him that, he already understood that it's different challenges. So I guess every generation has its own challenges, and probably we all used to say, you know, we used to see the older folks say, oh, you know, in my days it was different, and then everybody says, the next generation is the same thing, you know, my days, you know, it was, but apparently things go on, and, you know, a lot changed, but more stays the same. Anyways.